We're going to try to get through the end of Siman Kuf Sadiches today, and hopefully Siman Reish as well, Birchas Tefillah. So the din that we have here in Sif Lamed Hey, about positioning for Tefillah, that's based on the Meimor of Reish Lakish, on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. We encountered this previously in the context of Les Hilchas HaKachol HaNishmaisa, that the final line in the Gemara, either subject to or after the Les Hilchas HaKachol HaNishmaisa, if you have that line, is this Meimor of Reish Lakish, Aisha La Titbol Ela Derech Kedei Lasa. Five lines from the bottom, a woman should immerse herself in a natural position. Kidetanan, Haish Nira Ka'oder Uchemose, Zaysim, that the position of a man when he is Tovel is like one who hoes or one who harvests olives. Isha nireis ka'oreges u'kamanik espana, a woman immerses herself in the position of weaving or nursing. What does this all mean? Rashi writes, lo titbol ela kederach kedelasa kolomar. Lo titchak zroaseha al bisara, that she shouldn't hold her arms tightly on her body, nor her feet on her thigh or the upper part of the leg. Ella kedera chalichasa vishimusha tamid. So a woman shouldn't scrunch her body in an abnormal way. Rather, she should immerse herself in the position that she normally would walk or do normal activities. Uma she nichsa v'kamut. And as long as she's in that natural position, then it doesn't make a difference if there are some natural folds in the body. So what emerges from Rashi is that there's both a kula and a chumra embedded in this statement of Reish Lakish. That on the one hand, there's a chumrah that when a woman is toveles, she shouldn't hold her limbs in such a way that is unnatural and would potentially cover parts of the body that should be exposed. But at the same time, there's a kula that as long as she is in a natural position, we're not worried of the possibility that in that natural position there's maybe some kamatim that are potentially not fully in contact with water. So as long as a woman is tovelis in natural position, reflected by the activities discussed in the Gemara in the context of the Mishnah, in the context of Nigayim, for a man being Oder Mesik, for a woman being Oregas or Manika, that's what Rashi goes on to explain. That's in the context of a potential nega that would be exposed by lifting your hand up or by doing motions close to the ground. So you don't have to lift your hand up in a super unnatural way. As long as you lift your hand up with the action or the kind of reach that you would do to be most exasim, that's sufficient. So in this context, Rashi's saying, for Tfilas Nashim, that's what Reish Lakish is telling us, based on the model of the Mishnah in the Gayim, that as long as you have a medium relaxed position, we're not worried of potential kamatim being a problem of not having biasmayim. At the same time, if you're in an unnatural position, that would be a problem. If you're scrunching your body in such a way that does create kamatim, that would be a problem. So in the Masifta Gemara, the Masifta Gemara points out that if you look in the Riven of Ali Nefesh, the Rashman Torah Sabayis, when they present Reish Lakish, they only present the Chumra element. They don't emphasize the Kula element, even though that doesn't necessarily mean that they disagree with Halach, but they just emphasize the chumra element of not scrunching your body in an abnormal fashion. But in Shulchan Aruch, this is presented here both in terms of what we call the kula and what we call the chumra. And Mechaber writes, "Lotitbo b'koma zekufa, v'neshi yesh b'koma shem istatriba, v'lotishka harbe, ashi yidbeku sarah zavazav, ela shocha ma'ad, ashi yu sisrei besa erva nirem, kider shenireis b'shashi yarechas, v'itachas tadeha nira, kider shenire b'shashi v'nikas b'na, v'itachas b'feshachi nira, kider shenire k'sheregas v'omdin. V'einos v'icha laharchik yarchasah zumizu yosemidai, below the harfik so asami aguf yosubi die ella kidera shahim the ace hilucha. So you shouldn't extend yourself in a, there's no need to extend yourself in an unnatural way, but at the same time you can't be in a unnatural position that's going to potentially create more kamatim. You have to be in a middle, relaxed, natural position. The Beis Yosef here quotes from the Sma, quoting from the Aruch, that this dinner of Eish Lakish was only Letairos and not Labaila. And the Sma had the reading that Les Hilfasa, Kachol Hanishmaisa modifies not only the previous four Memros, but Eish Lakish as well. And that even Eish Lakish's statement isn't Lahalacha when it comes to Tzvilas Nashim, when it comes to Labaila. It's only lalach when it comes to taros. And then he quotes a Tashbeit, Chelik Aleph Simen Yud Zayin, Chelik Aleph Simen Yud Zayin, who thinks that that is Das Rambam. If you look in the footnote of the Magia on the Machon Yerushalayim tour, he points out that it's not really clear what he means that that's Das Rambam. Because there are two Rambams, Rambam Perik Beis Lach HaKafes, but the Rambam as well, Perik Aleph Lach Yud Aleph, the Rambam in Aleph Lach Yud Aleph doesn't distinguish between Taros and Baila. So the Rambam, when it comes to Pasvei Nebi Yosir, that's Perik Beis, there the Rambam does distinguish between Taros and Baila. Perik Aleph, the member of Eish Lakish, he doesn't. So the Magia thinks maybe the Tashbeis understood that Perek Beis modifies Perek Aleph, but he's not sure if that's so compelling. What the Beis Yosef quotes in Tashbeis, but that's a Rambam. But be that as it may, that's a minority position. We showed him, even if you'll ascribe it to the Rambam, and that's not what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. We pass it here in Siflam and Hay that this issue of positioning is relevant le Baila as well. Then the Mechaber concludes. What happens v'di'evit if a woman did not conform to these guidelines? V'im shinsa kegon sheshachsa v'yoser ozakva v'yoser also la tvila. That if a woman did not position herself in this fashion, the tvila is still good v'di'evit. V'yesh misha omer shalo also. And the Yesh Omrim is nope, that this isn't good, even b'di'evet. So that presumably is connected to whether less Hilchos HaKachol HaNishmaisa modifies Reish Lakish as well. That if we paskin that Reish Lakish is relevant to Baila, then it potentially is even Li'ikuva. So that's part of what the Shach is bothered by here in Sukkot and Memtes. Sarachim v'zeh. V'chein hada asmei nabiyosu l'kaman. D'yesh omer da'asu l'tfila. So we noted this previously when we spoke about asmei nabiyoser, that there the Mechaber also quotes two deus, as opposed to in the beginning of the Simen, when it comes to the issue of Lifla Shabbayin, Kachol Shabbayin, there the Mechaber only quotes the one opinion that it is a potential Chatzitza, that we don't say Lesil Chasa Kachol HaNashmaisa, and yet both by Karsa Sifsa Seha, or Asma Ineha, and over here by Reish Lakish, the Mechaber quotes to Deus. Aval mechab al kach los fili hafi. Shei pasuk le'el sifches by chol siftes by dam shebemaka shechotzeitz. V'ze eino el lemanda lagar sachi b'shas. Taba talya. Right, so the Shach raises the issue here, as we raised in the context of Asmei Nebi Yoser, why he said that the Mechaber earlier only quotes today that this is Lalacha, and here the Mechaber quotes two Deus. It sounds like totally on that question as to whether Reish Lakish is Lahalacha. And it's more than that, because the Mechaber quotes the opinion that also a tefillah that's good to be evid as the stam. The opinion that lo also is only yesh omrim. So if anything, you would have at least expected that to be switched, that the stam, the way the Mechaber so same earlier in the simon, that's reflected by the yesh mishomir, should have been reflected by the stam. So that's what the Shach is bothered by, at least with the Tzarachian. And the Sidrei Tara in Sukkot and Ayin Vav suggests that apparently, even according to Reish Lakish, this is only a din l'chachila, even if Reish Lakish is relevant l'bayla, but that's still only a l'chachila, it's not l'ikuva. That's what the Yerucha Shulchan writes as well, in Sifkat and Pei Gimel. So this is not totally on whether you're going to l'chachilchus l'chachol ha'nishmaisa after Reish Lakish. Even according to Reish Lakish, that's only a din l'chachila, it's not l'ikuva. Even if a woman is tabelis in a more extreme position, it's a lechachila not to do that because of a chashash of kmatim. But in principle, mikra din, at least for the eved, it would be a good tefillah. The Chazon Ish explains over here in Siman Sadi Hey, beginning in Os Beis, what's a din b'di'eved? So first he says, l'chora nira, that this din of Reish Lakish is not a chatzitza halacha. It's not that we're worried that if you're going to be tovelis in a extreme position that, or in a overly bent position, that it's a potential problem of chatzitza. But he says it's more than that. It's potentially not a tefillah at all, because it's ke'ilu, you're being tovel chatzi gufa. Because in those places that are going to be covered, if you're crouching abnormally, if there are parts of your body that are covered by the rest of your body, then those places aren't experiencing bias mayim, and there's no tefillah chal on those parts of the body. Even though he says in general, min haTorah miyut hamakbid isn't chotzeitz, that's because that's batal to the rest of the body. But here, if you have a part that's not exposed, that's not called batal. But then he says, maybe that's not really the case. He says, why in general is it the case that Mi'ra Makbid isn't Chotzeitz min haTorah? It's not because that area is Batel to the Guf. El she'enu chashuv lachutz lehavdil ben gufo leben amayim. That we don't give consideration to that miut, that should be a chatzitza between the guf and the water. The kevan shekulo toch amayim. Lemaisa, if the entire body is underwater, v'ruba nogeya b'mayim, and the majority of the body is touching the water, Hechshiva sa Torah tefila. That's considered to be a tefila min haTorah. The Hilkach, gam b'chol hakamatim mayotzin midarach kedei lasan, einam chotzim min haTorah ella biruban. So as long as the whole body is underwater, even if there is a niyot hamakdid min haTorah, that's not a chatzitza, because we don't give any chashivas to that niyot, because lemaisa, it's all underwater and it's considered subject to the same tefillah. And therefore, even if you have kamatim that aren't exposed to the water, if the whole body is underwater, that's still subject to tefillah min haTorah. And then you can understand, he says, why is it that we say, or happy to have a position, that less hilchas hakachol hanishmaisa, that Reish Lakish isn't relevant for tvila labaila? The answer is that since anyway it's only a miyut, albeit a miyut a makbit, that's only the Rabbanan, v'lo gozer b'chi agavna. That's the Chazon Ish's analysis, how we can entertain saying that Reish Lakish is not li'ikuva. Yeah?
How maisa is this in terms of, I forgot what it's called, but when you touch your hand in the water before, as like you're helping the helping hand?
Maya Makdiman. Right.
So if she's like entering the water, like obviously.
Oh, good. So you're mechaving to the Taz. So the Taz says, right, Tasha's point. So if you look here in the Taz, in Sifat and Lamaches, V'yesh v'isha omir shalo asala tefila kashali. Lama yisol v'di'evet. Ma'ishna misif lamed armina v'desha maya makdimim. Right? So why is this any different than Mayim Makdimah? The worst case scenario, so as you're saying, you go into the mikvah, but before you crouch, the water touches the area that's going to be covered by the crouching. Hachanami neme hachi, dakdima mayim lesen kamatim koshin nidbikol yidei azakifa o eshkiya harbei. The Yosar Kasha, lefi das hator, shafila betisha v'raglaha eno choshesh. According to the Torah, we're not even worried, lemaisa we're machmer on this, but according to one opinion, we're not even worried if her foot is then going to touch tit, which is the davar hachotzes, as long as the mayim were makdimah before she got to the tit. So why would anyone say that it's likuva? Yesh lomar, dahacha yesh chashash, sheyidbeku akmatim shein beguf, lemalam en amayim. So it's a mitzias issue. The concern is that in a chanami, if she'd be tovelis initially in a natural position and then crouching, that would be fine. But maybe she's going to crouch before she gets underwater. Nimsa shebibi asam lamayim farhei midubakim. So we're worried that there may be a scenario where you're crouching before you get into the mikvah and you can't say mayim makdimim. Ulefizeh imif nisa asma asav arba mayim tchila havet tfila b'di'evah chol gavdi v'edachanami. If that's not the mitzias, if the woman goes down naturally up to her neck, and then crouches, so that'll be a good tefillah. V'nirali says the Taz, shenachal l'chol isha shetasa kein, shal koponim yesh v'zet sam al yusa, in tishkahar b'v'lavadaita. And the Taz recommends, that's a good idea, that a woman should be conscious to go down as straight as possible, as upright as possible, at least up to her neck. Then you're covered, even if you're going to end up crouching the lava daita when she goes into the mikvah. And the shach and the nekudas hakesef isn't so convinced. The shach thinks that there may still be a problem when it comes to kamatim that maya makdima doesn't solve. So lo kasha midi says the shach and the nekudas hakesef. The husband peirusha k'moshe kasev a rush would be bais Yosef v'nei shemayim makdimim lomar kishatafu raglav betit for a kamu mayim The woman's going to go into the mikvah. Before her feet touch the tit, they'll be totally surrounded by water. That's mayim makdimim. The hilkach lo avi chatzitza. They become makam a mayim shebragla mechubam le mikvah shebragla nogos bekar katsa mikvah. V'hacha. Aide akmatim lo yu a mayim shebasach akmatim mechubarim le mikvah klau. Here we're worried that even if she's going to initially be relaxed, but the water in the kamatim is not going to be mechubar to the mikvah at all. I'm not sure exactly how he sees the metzias. He's saying somehow that you can't say mayim makdimim even if the water is going to touch that area before the kamatim form, or when the kamatim form, that which is inside the kamatim are not mechubar to the rest of the water of the mikvah, and you can't say mayim makdimim. I'm not exactly sure why that's true. The Metzias or the Shach conceives of that, but he's concerned that we don't say Mayim Akdimin when it comes to Kamatim. The Sidre Tara, Sivkatin Ayin Gimel, also thinks that even according to the Shach, if you do it right, the way the Taz explains, that the Shach in principle should agree that you'd say Mayim Akdimin. And therefore the Taz thinks that the Sidre Tara thinks that it's a good idea to do like the Taz anyway, because then you're, according to the Taz, you're definitely okay. And even according to the Shach, he thinks you gain at least something if you follow the Taz's suggestion. Because even the Shach, he thinks maybe it's tentative, you don't lose anything, maybe you gain something. That's the Sidre Tara. Moshe, Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Vav, has rise to the Taz, but he thinks it's hard to be makel against the Shach, meaning that b'di'evet, if a woman did crouch in the extreme, you would need to redo the tefillah. Chazanish is makel on this. Sivkat and Hay. In principle, he says, but if it's a relatively shallow mikvah, and then we're concerned more that maybe there are crevices that form before you enter the mikvah, so then he says, sarachli lahakal. But in a normal size mikvah, he thinks in principle the Taz is correct. After Moshe was talking about a case of a very shallow mikvah, where the only way to be tavelis would be in a somewhat less than fully erect position. So Moshe was not into that. The Chazon Ish also, that kind of a mikvah thinks that Sarachi and Lahakel, but a normal mikvah, if you did like the Taz, then B'di'evet, the Chazon Ish thinks the tefillah would be a good tefillah. So just to read from Rabbi Forst's description of what the proper L'chachila positioning of the body is for tefillah, page 387. When immersing, a woman should stand neither in a totally erect nor extreme bend position. She should lean slightly forward. She may bend her knees slightly. She should position her legs somewhat apart, such as a woman does in rolling dough. Her arms should be slightly away from her body in the manner of a woman is walking. Her hands should be lifted slightly, such as a woman standing and weaving a loom. Her elbows should not be bent excessively. Since these are all normal activities, those parts of the body surface that are exposed during these activities are considered normally exposed parts. Okay, so that's basically what we have in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Mishnah Nagayim, the default position, the L'chachila default position for tefillah. Chazon Ish held that in a situation where the woman was careful to go down straight up to her neck, even if she might have bent herself in a more extreme fashion after the fact, that you can rely on the Taz and not tell her to do a tefillah again. Rav Moshe is reluctant to be makel the Taz on that. Yeah.
If we're saying Rav Moshe was speaking about a shallow mikvah,
right?
Do you know how we hold in the regular size mikvah?
Yeah, Rav Moshe thinks that you can't, you shouldn't be makel against the Shach.
So in many sense, but not
right. Just the context. The reason it was nogeya. The context of the shayla was about a shalom mikvah where it was hard to position yourself in a lechachila fashion. Okay. So let's move on now to Se'it. Yeah, Gabe?
So just in terms of the Sphira and the Shulchan Aruch, so we said in Sif Ches and Tes, he didn't mention the Giras of Leishof Kol HaNishmaita.
Right.
And we're saying in Lamed Hey, really he's not mentioning it either. And then the focus here about whether or not Atal Sphira or not has nothing to do with that yourself.
And that's what the Sifri Tara says, and that's what Yofa Shulchan says. The Shachas is the Kasha. The Shach leads up the Tzarchiyin. But the Siddur Torah and the Yafa Shulchan say, no, unrelated. Even if we pass in like Reish Lakish, that's still only a Din L'Chachila, not the Yikuva.
That's the Shulchan Aruch is bringing.
Right,
first
that's
day,
what these 2 days are.
The Nidon is whether Yishlakish is Bidiyavid or Sechachila.
Correct.
So the printer is when they put the smog over here.
You mean the Baragola. You mean the parentheticals in the Ramah.
Yeah,
so that's...
So that
would be lad dafka.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Correct.
And now that would be pshat in lamed tes also.
And that would be pshat in lamed tes. No, so lamed tes may be different because so that there the les hilchasa kachol hanishmaisa. Right. So there was one possibility the les hilchasa kachol hanishmaisa is going on the first three maimers and on the fourth maimer. So,
you don't even have it by the first remember. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't even say it by the first remembers.
I'm sorry, right, that's the other way. Right, so what do we say? That... I don't remember, what do we say?
This question about the Yochanan is the Chathil of the Yavid? So the Siddur Torah just says that in Sif Lamed Tes, the Mechaber is prosecuting in principle that
Shabbat says that in principle, the Mechaber holds by what he said earlier, that we're not going to ask the Chasakal and these are all problems of Chatzitza. So then the Mechaber should have said that Lo also a Tefillah B'Stam. I'm sorry?
So
he says it is a Yesh Omrim, that even according to those positions that are Mekel on the first three Memras, then you'd be Machner here. Evan should agree. Lo also a Tefillah. Yeah, but why does it say this is a Yesh Omrim? This is Sidri Taurus of Cousin Ayin Vav. Yes, I'm not sure how that explains why he presents it as a Yesh Omrim. Okay, so we'll try to clarify that again in other. Okay, Sif Mem. Chaber writes, Sarach Lahamin al Gaba Yehudis Gedola, that there has to be a mikveh attendant supervising the tefillah, who's a Jewish woman of age. She has to be a Gedola. Bishashi Toveles, Shatira Shelo Yishar Misar Rosha Tzafa Pnei Amayim. You have to make sure that there are no hairs that aren't fully immersed. V'meila Mishatam El Gaba, O Shibalayla, Tichra Sar El Rosha B'chutei Tzamer, or B'tzua Shav Rosha. There's a B'di Evid if there's no one available, so if you tie your hair tightly, or wind your hair up tightly in a way that's not going to be a chatzitza, then maybe that is sufficient. Where does this come from? The requirement of having a woman who's a medel al gaba. So the Rush and the Rashba have this for this purpose of checking that the hair goes totally under the water. And the Beis Yosef presents from the Ravid this Eitzah that if there's no better option, then the woman can be korechas her hair in such a way with the Darvish and the Chotzeitz, and that would be a valid tefillah. So that's the Mechaber paskins here in Sif Mem. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Kolbo and the Ogor the following line: Isha Yehudis O Baila O Narashi Gedola Yosef Yehudis Shanim Yamecha. So he quotes the Kolbo and the Ogor as having Isha Yehudis, as long as she's a Gedola, or her husband. So the ghost on the Torah points out that line of Obaila doesn't appear in the Agur, but it does appear in the Kolba. So we'll come back to that in a few moments. The Gaon points out over here, Sukkata Memhei, why does the woman have to be a Gedola? The B'davar Dishchazi Gisura, Einu Namana Katan, Afilu B'drabanan. The Koshikain Ove Kochavim Delo Mehema Klaus. Since we're talking about changing the status something that's his chazak yisura, you need to have a gedola. So are we talking about a din d'oraisa, or are we talking about a din d'rabbana? Rabbi Forth points out, beginning at page 394, the pasuk says that this is a din d'rabbana. Min Torah, the woman should be namenes to self-represent that the tefillah was a good tefillah because it's biyad lipo, and that's the classic eid echanam yisura that a woman has namenes for her own tahara process. However, the Badi Yosholchan in the Beurim here, Dibur Maskol Yachol, thinks that the mashmos of the Sidrei Torah in Sukkot and Ayin Ches, it's not Feirish in the Sidrei Torah, thinks the mashmos of the Sidrei Torah in Ayin Ches is that we're talking about a din d'oraisa. What would the svara be that this would be a din d'oraisa? So Baal HaShulchan says, aside from the fact that we don't have any makor for why it should be a din d'oraisa, but what would the reason that a woman's ne'amanus would be suspect be? So he says that b'metzias, it's hard to properly self-represent that, how does a woman know that all her hair went under the water? If you're not being tovelous with a mirror on the ceiling that you're looking on as you're going under, so it would be hard b'metzias to be able to unequivocally self-represent that the water went, that the hair all went under the waterline. But Rabbi Forth points out, if that's the only concern, so then that should also be a somewhat mitzvah question. If a woman has short hair, if a woman has no hair, if it's a very deep mikvah, so then there's a greater likelihood or comfort level the fact that she could self-represent. But either way, whether this is a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan, that is the din. So the Gaon says, as we just saw, that just like a katana is of no help, so too a nachris is of no help. What about a woman who is a mumeres or a koferes? So Moshe writes, Yoredei Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Hei. Regarding your shayla of a woman who is a mikveh attendant who is not observant, and she's a mumeres mikveh, she doesn't practice taharas hamishpacha herself. Baru pashit, that you can't be somek on her regarding the kashrus hatefilah. You can't be somek on her to represent that the woman's hair all went under water. You need a yediyah brura, it's a chazik yisura. That's why a katana is no good. And he quotes a gaon that a nachris is no good either. So who adin a mumeres? He says more than that. Even if it wouldn't be a chazik yisura, a katan still wouldn't have ne'amanus. Because even if we're talking about a chatzitza de Rabbanan, right? Clearly, it's highly unlikely that we'd ever have a chatzitza de Raisa. So, Nir Amakbid is only going to be de Rabbanan. But if one of your hair sticks out, that's an Ika of Minotaur. There's no Bias Mayim at all. That's a din d'oraisa. So Moshe says a mumeres, a woman who doesn't believe in the whole system, has no ne'amanus for these purposes. Let's take a look at the Atse Levona on the bottom of the page. After Kaima line the eight afanama bisura in Heka Diskazaki Sura, Vakavi Iskazaki Sura, Nikal Makam Hafa Abukumobi Adolasakain, Kavan de Tavelas Yeshbi Adolasakain, Vitsis Alchaverta Shatira im Tavelas, Shabkum Havikumobi Adolasakain, Avalakatan, Enonama Bidaraisa, Afilabamasha Biada Lasakain. Okay. There's a Piskei Tshuva, Simen Kuf Sadihei, which will be our next limud, it's Hashem. Piskei Tshuva, Kuf Sadihei, Sukkotin Beis, quotes a famous Noad Bihuda, it's famous because the Piskei Tshuva made it famous. Tshuva's Noad Bihuda, Tinyana Yoredei, a Kuf Yud Beis, the Ish V'ish Adar Bekvar. So man and woman live in some remote place. The Ein Sham Yehudi or Yehudi Zulasa Zoglavadam, they're the only firm people in town. Luckily, even though they're the only firm people in town, they also have a mikvah in town. right? They're the only from people in town. So question number one, can the husband be the mikveh attendant if there's no one else around? And question number two, can he assist her going into the water? Kasa. Mitzadah svarin near cave into Isser Negia, Isser Stakless, Is Shama Yavali De Hergal Davar. At the moment, is Gita Vyadavam Kachat? She's going to come out in a second and be Mutaris. So, another who that thinks if there's no other option, then it's Mutter. I'm sorry? Then both will be Mutter. Being the second one is because the woman in the Shaila apparently was somewhat disabled or unable to, or she didn't have the mobility necessary to go on her own. So another view of the things in principle, that's Mutter, Michael.
There always is another option, right? She could tie her hair down with...
Yeah, so that's... The tying your hair down is not really embraced by Poskim. I think partially because it's impractical to do it in a way, or not impractical to do it in a way that's not going to create more chassidic problems than results. The principle of it is such a way that there won't be any davar chotzeitz, but I think it's hard to do that practically. So that's not really suggested as a practical etzah. To the point that the Piskei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Kaf Beis quotes Tshuva Sirvi Kiv Eger. Kuf Yud Dalid, that if you didn't do this Tigun, Seyar, and a woman goes to the mikveh without a mikveh attendant, Lo Alsa Tvila, even Bidiyevet. And she's a Moredes, and she's Master Ksuba, Akadekach. That part he doesn't quote over here. So this is not just a chumrah, but it's ma'akev even b'di'evet. Again, we Sidri Tara, or at least by the Shulchan, thinks Sidri Tara may think this is a din d'oraisa. Yeah.
He would agree though, Rukita, if he tied her hair, that it would work.
Yeah, he's saying where she didn't do that. I'm just saying practically, it's not to do that in a way that wouldn't create another chassidic problem is not so easy. That's not such a practical solution. Okay. The Ramah writes in Sif Mem Gimel, Yesh Omrim Sha'isha Tzricha Lahatil Mayim Kodem Tefila, the woman needs to relieve herself before going to the mikvah. Emi Tzricha Lekach if she needs to. She has to check that she doesn't need to go to the bathroom before she goes to the mikvah. Because if she was holding it in, so then that may be chisarna bar l'bias mayim. So this is based on a Ravan, based on a Gemara Nidim Mem Gimel in the context of a Zava. Here the Gemara has that a zava shenakru may ragleha, the tefila may not be valid. So the maraka with the rua and the ago sharidura are bothered that that's a taras halacha. How do you know that that din applies for tefila levaila as well? Either way, the shach points out of here in sifkat din, hey, this is a din lechachila. It's not ma'akev bidi evet. But Ramosha writes, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf, that if it's in the extreme, that a person is holding it in the extreme, so then that's where you have a more serious concern, what the Ramosha describes, that maybe it's not right with B.S. Mayim, because in the physical action of holding things in, there may be kamatim that form that prevent B.S. Mayim in that area. So that's why the Lechachila is that a woman should relieve herself before going to the mikvah to make sure that there's no such concern. Sif Mem Zayin. Min kinim shedvukim bebasar. v'noshkin be'or v'malkim seyar, v'nidbakim b'chozak v'basak zarech lasiran, aydei chamin, u'legorda mitziparin. If a woman has lice in her hair, you have to remove the lice. V'im eino yachol lasiran, eino chotzeis. But if you can't remove them, b'di eved, or there's no way to remove them, that is not a chatzitza. Why? Says the Gaon Sifkat Nun Gimel, Hainu Ravise, Ve'ena Makbedes, that if you can't remove the lice, that's considered part of the body, and the woman de facto is not Makbedes. The number of years ago, I was at my sister in Mate Shemesh for Shabbos during Shovavim, and the Moshe Shabbos, I went to Shovim Shir given by Rabbi Ben Zion Vosner, formerly of Muncie and Beit Shemesh, now I think exclusively Beit Shemesh. He's the one who built the Bennett Avenue Eruv originally, Rav Vosner's son. So he gave a shiur on, I think it was during Shovim every week. I went to one of them. So he thought that nowadays, this isn't correct. That nowadays, even in Eidu Yachal Asiran, it would still be a chotzeitz, it would still be a chatzisa, because women are makpidos on lice. That no one would come to Torims and say, oh, I can't get the lice out, so it doesn't bother me, I'll just leave it there, and hainu ravise, eina makbedes. So he thought that nowadays you can't say such a thing, and the only thing you can do would be to shave all the hair off if you want to go to the mikvah.
What about Eretz Yisrael, where people seem to not be so makbed about lice?
See, he gave the shiur in Eretz Yisrael.
I know, but so how do you deal with the metzias, that nobody removes it and all the...
Is that true?
The metzias, I think all the little girls are running around with lice. I don't know about married women, but... It's like a huge Indian in Eretz Yisrael.
Not familiar. You
guys don't know about this?
Yeah.
I think
it's like a thing. Like, you guys come back like for lack of summer, and your school be like, oh, like going to Eretz Yisrael, like, we have to check out the lice. Nobody has lice there.
And also, like, in some of the Hesder seminaries, a lot of the American girls are always dealing with the fact that the Israeli girls in the seminary all have lice.
Hesder seminaries.
Like, yeah, like a Migdalos type place. I mean, they're not called Hesder, but what are they called?
I don't think there are any Hesder seminaries. Maybe they do Shevut Lumi.
What
Hesder
is exclusively aren't?
I think so.
Hesder is sister's
okay, yeah. So like they also have lice?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the American girls, but the Israeli girls for sure.
So you're saying it's not an ideological thing?
No. I'm shocked that nobody's familiar with
this. I don't know. I mean, he spent a lot of time in America, but I don't know. So he said he thought that nowadays everyone's makbid, and the only solution is to shave all your hair. Yeah, so he's more makbid than his father in that, because in the Shira Shevet Alevi has that if you can't get rid of it, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, then Hainu Revise. And that's what the Piskei Tshuva quotes here also, Sivkat and Kafei for the Chamud de Daniel, Osan Kinim Kitani Mesim Advukim Beseyar, Sarach La Siran, Dehave Chatzitza. So that's if it's Shayach to remove them. But if it's not shy to remove them, so Rabbi Morgan is a quote from Rav Yashiv that you can be makel if you can remove it even with difficulty after removing. But and even if you go to one person that can't do it, then you try someone else. But if at the end of the day no one can get it out, then we fall back on what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Eino Chotzeitz, Hainu Revise. So I didn't see anyone in print say, like Rabbi Ben Zion Vosner, that that nowadays there's no Eitzah. Especially if Elon's correct. So, okay. Fine. Sif Memches. Nida Shetavla below Kavana. Kigon. If you go to the mikvah with lice, do the lice come off your hair and potentially attach themselves to someone else? It doesn't work that way.
I wonder if then showering would help.
Unless
in the tsunami, the lice don't shower, and that's why they don't care.
Well, before the mikvah. Okay.
Yeah,
fine.
It could survive like a little bit off, like outside your head, but I don't know how long. Like, yeah. Well, I think the biggest way to spread is by like heads being near each other,
right.
Like rubbing heads, sticking next to each other, etc.
Or sharing hats.
Yeah.
I think they share hats.
Okay. Don't know.
I was just singing the Daf Yomi very recently.
So yeah. Right. I mean, saw that when we spoke about Chafifa. Okay, Sif Memches. Nida shetavla below kavana. If a woman goes to the mikvah without kavana, kigon shenafla sachamayim, she just falls into the water. Or she yarda lahakir, or she just goes for a swim, not thinking about the fact that it's time for tefillah too. Harezu mataras abayla, says Ramah, the yeshmach mirin, v'matzvichin asa tefillah cheres. Yesh lahachmir lichachila. So this is a sugin chul and lamin aleph and beis. Nida shenem savetavla, if a woman is toveles, beones, without kavanah l'tefillah, machlokas rab and rav Yochanan, whether she's mataras abayla. And machlokas we showed him how to be paskin. The mechaber who's makel that is good to the avid paskin is like the Rambam. The Ramah quotes the Yesh Machmirin, the Rashba, Rini Rucham, that the tefillah is no good even to the avid. The Tasukatan Mem and the Shasukatan Samuch both quote that Kavanas chaderta would work as long as someone's having kavana. Bishkashuas of kavan kavches, it has to be a woman that has kavana. It doesn't help if a man has kavana. Rav Azman is not sure why that should make a difference. In the new printed Chamudi Daniel, he quotes that also without a time why you distinguish. The footnote, there the Chamud Daniel connects this to the din that a woman should be careful about who she's pogeya at when she leaves the Beis HaTfila. That's what the Ramah talks about in the Hemshech. So maybe that's a connection that there shouldn't be a man around when she leaves the mikvah. Piskei Shuvas of Kazan Kazayin. Also let's say the husband's sick and she counts Shivanakiyam and she's Tovelas with the mindset that she is going to be able to touch her husband. But there's no Kavanah Latashmish, so that you don't call not having Kavanah. As long as you have Kavanah, that it should be Matar you. It doesn't make a difference that that you didn't have Kavanah for Tashmish.
Even according to the
Ramah. As Lamaisa, you're being Tovelas, L'shem Tefillah. So what specifically you wanted to be mad to you for shouldn't make a difference. Okay. Yeah.
We're
Machmir L'chachila to have Kavanah. If a woman. It doesn't come up that often that you like fall off a bridge without any clothing on and it's a mikvah.
You
could have loose clothing on, right? Yeah. Right. So it's not really such a lemaisa situation. Yeah, Asher.
How would a person who, like, for the Rashba and the Rabbin Yeruham, someone who can't have kavana, how do they ever make that?
So you could have Das Acharis. That's in the Shachman Tasa. You could have someone else have the kavana.
But isn't the Rashba? Was the Rashba not the one who says you need?
You need kavana, but it doesn't have to be your kavana. It could be as long as there is kavana, just like the din by Chayrish Mishota, that you could have someone else do the bedikos for her and someone else, whatever. But this also, you could have someone else provide the das.
Does the kavana need to be verbalized?
I don't think so. No. I don't think it ever says that. Yeah?
What does that mean, that someone's got kavana?
It means that that defines this as a tefillah l'shem mitzvah tefillah, or l'shem the function.
Like when she goes into the mikvah, like the mikvah that it could have for
mm-hmm.
Why would we require kavana?
So that's the machlokes amarayim. You have to work through the sugya there, but off, presumably, even if tefillah is not a lot mitzvah, but there is a uh, define the tefillah as something that's being effective for the purpose that it's being done.
Even mitzvah tzrichos kavana. So I would have thought like maybe you didn't fulfill a mitzvah, but you still went.
You're saying this is a matir, a hechsher, it's not a. Right, you don't usually require kavana for hechsher. I mean, that'll relate to the birkas tefillah topic that we'll talk about right now. Okay, not sure. Okay, let's try to get through Simon Reish quickly, if we can. So Simon Reish is birkas tefillah. Aruch HaShulchan points out in the beginning of Simon Reish that our practice is we recite a bracha on tefillah even if the tefillah is only mishum kesem, even if the tefillah is only required midrabanan. That's also the chlal, the bracha, and that's the minhag. Even if a woman went through the whole tahara process because of her kesef derabanan, you still go to the mikvah and recite a bracha. The Darkei Tshuva quotes a Malbushei Tahara, Darkei Tshuva Sukkatan Aleph, that a woman in this situation shouldn't say a bracha, the suffix, Avi Bracha Sukula, and she should be yosu with someone else's bracha. So then you have to choreograph that two women are jumping to the mikvah at the same time, and one of them recites a bracha on behalf of the other. But he quotes Rishon Lechuv to say, you do say bracha, and I'm not aware of anyone that's choshesh for this Malbushei Tara. And then the Aruch HaShulchan says, even a woman who tiyosheves al dam Torah nowadays, that's clearly only a minhag. A minhag Torah, that dam Torah for a yoledes, there's no requirement to tefillah, that's dam Torah. It's only mishum minhag. Still, you say bracha because you say a bracha minhag, like we say bracha on hallow on Rosh Chodesh. That's what the Piskei Tshuva quotes, Kuf Sadi Dalis of Katan Beis, Kuf Sadi Dalis of Katan Beis, in the name of Tshuva's Chasim Sofer, Kuf Sadi Aleph. Aruch HaShulchan writes, even on a Safi Kasa, we say Bracha, because he says, Ein Tfila below Bracha, or at least that's the klal, that even if it's a low grade Safi, Dam Tovar, Safi Kasem, we still recite a Bracha. Now, what about Sfardim? So, this approach, you say bracha on a minhag, so that's Rabbi Natan, that's a Bali Tosos, that's the practice of Ashkenazim, to recite a bracha on minhag. What about Sfardim, that you don't say bracha on minhag, the Ram, the end of Hilchas Brachos? So, what's the equation over here? So, Rav Avadia moves the needle a little bit, but not so much. Rav Avadia, Cheli Bey, Simon Tav Kuf Memdalid, has situations in which he thinks it's a low grade enough Safek that you wouldn't say a bracha. Like, let's say, for example, you have a number of ksam in pachos mikagris that betzira for yoser mikagris. So there's scenarios where it's a low-grade safek that Rav Avadia says you shouldn't say a bracha, but in principle, it sounds like he's willing to go even in that which is only misho minhag, you still would say a bracha. And maybe there are different levels of minhag, or this became more formalized. But it sounds like even Sfardim, in most situations, say a bracha, even on a tefillah d'rabban, even on a tefillah mishum minhag. Okay. So the Gemara Masechet Zayin of Abayis, the sugya of Over Lasiyasan, has that even though the general principle is that kol mitzvos mivarkalein Over Lasiyasan, when it comes to Birkas Tefillah, that's an exception because Akasi Gavra Lo Chazi. That the person is not roi for a bracha over Lasiyasin. What is the nidon of the Gemara there? What does it mean? What's the case of Birkas Tefillah that we're talking about? So that's a major machlokas Mishonim. Rashi understands that we're talking about a Balkari. Balkari is not allowed to say a bracha prior to Tefillah because of Takanas Ezra. He is Akasi Gavra Lo Kachazi, and therefore we have no choice but to tell the Baal Keri to recite a bracha after he goes to the mikvah. Tosvos, Dibra Maskel Ala Tfila, the Shame Rabbeinu Chananu, we're talking about a ger. A ger is Akasi Gavra Lo Kachazi because prior to going to the mikvah he's not Jewish, he obviously can't recite a bracha, Heichan Tzivanu, so he has no choice but to recite the bracha after the Tvila. But, according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, any other Chiyuv Tvila, you can recite the bracha as normal over Lasiyasa. The exception of tefillah is a limited exception, either balkari or ger, it doesn't mean that every possible tefillah scenario do you recite the bracha after the tefillah. Okay, so that's Rashi and Tosis in their different ways. Rabbeinu Chananu, that exception of akasi gavra lo chazi would not be relevant to tefillas nashim. Then Tosis quotes in the Ri that you shouldn't criticize those women that say a bracha achar tefillah because of a low plug. The way Tosu says it from the Ri is, sounds like the Ri also, lechachila, you say the bracha over lasiyasa for tefillas nashim, but women who don't, you don't have to make a big deal about it. The Torah quotes the Ri differently. The Torah quotes the Ri as saying that you should lechachila recite the bracha over lasiyasa. And that's what the Beis Yosef points out, that that's not the Ri in our Tosfos. But that's how the Torah quotes the Ri. And then Tosef quotes the Yesh Mefarshim that we say the bracha tefillah is always recited la'akar asiyasan across the board, because either we're worried that if you recite the bracha over la'asiyasan, maybe mishum b'yisusa, you're not going to be tovel properly and it'll be a bracha l'batala. And Tosa raises a concern that you have to take into consideration the problem of Liba Rosa Erva. And that would be a reason that you can't recite the bracha when you are in the mikvah. But this Yesh Mefarshim and Tosa says that all tefillos are la'achar asiyasan, because you're worried about the Asusa de Maya. And that's what the Torah quotes in the Bahag, that lechachila, you should always recite Berchas HaTfila, even by Tfilas Nashim, la'achar asiyasam. Kasa b'hag la'achar shetalam in a tefillah tevarech v'chein pirush ri. Even though we said it's not clear if that is the ri, the right it says say the bracha before. The Rambam also is like Tosfos. Rambam perikud aleph halacha zayin, like Rabbeinu Tam, that dafka ger recites the bracha before, but everyone else recites the bracha afterwards. So this is Machlokas Mechaber Ramah here in Siman Reish. Mechaber writes, Kishe poshetes malvushaha kishe omedes b'chaluka. So a woman should begin getting undressed, but when she's standing still covered enough to be covering the Malkam Erva, Tevarech asher kedeshanim isesa v'tzivanu ala tefila, v'tivsho chaluka, v'titpol. Then she should take off her robe, her chaluk, and then go into the mikvah. Ravadia says, nowadays he thinks our mikvahs have a din of amerchatz, and therefore you're not allowed to recite a bracha in amerchatz, so she should recite the bracha in the waiting room, and then take off her chaluk, and then dash into the mikvah to minimize the hassle. That's the position of the Chabad. Ravadia quotes 19 Rishonim that hold this way, that a woman, and so that's the practice of Sfardim, with that modification of Ravadia, maybe to do it in the side room, that you recite the bracha prior to going to the mikvah in a semi-clothed state, and then you jump into the mikvah. And the Ramah says, V'yesh omrim, shelo tevarech ad achar tefillah, that a woman should only recite the bracha after the tefillah, v'chei nogim, shelo achar tefillah ba'od omedes b'sal chamayim, v'chaseis atzma b'begadah, O b'chaluka u mivarechas. So according to the Mechaber, aside from being marviach, the over lasiyasan aspect, according to those who showed him that there's no exception for tefillas nashim, you're also marviach the liba roas erva element, that you recite the bracha in a halachically clothed state. And the Ramah says, No, we're worried about, we assume that the Birkas HaTefillah is not recited over Asiyasan, but he says the woman recites the bracha when she's still the Sochamayim, but she should cover herself in a way that avoids Liba Roa Es Ha'erva. And if you look at the Shach and the Taz, they both think there's no need for that, and that's our practice, because in principle we paskin that Liba Roa Es Ha'erva is only a problem for men and not for women. And therefore, there's no problem reciting the bracha while she's in the mikvah, even if she is unclothed. That topic of Liba Roa Es Ha'erva is an Archaim Sugya, Simon Pei Dalid, Sif Gimel Sif Dalid. We're short on time, so we won't elaborate. But the Shach and the Taz assume that Mikra Din, there's no problem of Liba Roa Es Ha'erva when it comes to women. And therefore, there isn't even a need, Mikra Din, to fold your hands in such a way that could block the lave and the makam erva, even though they think l'chachila, you should do that, and that is our practice. But in principle, if the head's above the water and the body's below the water, even without doing that, in principle, we're not worried about libo roa es ha erva. Chavis, yeah.
That's because there's no problem going over by a woman. That's because her head's above the water. And the water is like.
That makes it better, but that's a problem because that's because in principle there's no problem with Liba Roa Es Ha'erva by a woman. So it's better because you're underwater, the head's above water. Better if the water's cloudy, but even the water's not cloudy. So I'm sorry?
Yeah.
But push comes to shove. In principle, the Taz and Shach think that there's no problem with Liba Roa Es Ha'erva for a woman. But better to be Chosheish, at least partially, so the position like this, so that creates a little bit of a block between the lave and the erva. Yeah.
Sure that hands are touching the
kumos
chosin.
So
I mean, you're in a mikvah, but
right.
Like,
so they're not.
Of
sharis biyado. What do you tell
the sharis biyado? I mean, you're actively touching kumos chosin. So.
You're not necessarily actively touching kumos chosin.
So your hands shouldn't touch.
Right. I don't think there's a need for the hand to touch the makam erva. Typically, it wouldn't be. Not there. Yeah.
About the Mishnah Chal that a woman shouldn't, like, she can't say the bracha on the bracha on the mafash chal arum aruma. Doesn't that sound like there is a problem though?
Right. So here, you're in the water. So yeah, if you're not in the water, so then. If you're not in the water, so then that's more of a problem. The Shach and the Taz assume that where you are in the water, there's no issue of Liba Roa Es Ha'erva. But in principle, it sounds like the Ikar did even out of the water now. But yeah, Lamaisa were only Makel in the water. If you're out of the water, that's a problem of Eina Roa Es Ha'erva, right? That's a different issue. Liba Roa Es Ha'erva is if you're in this area and that area are, quote unquote, can see each other. Eina Roa Es Ha'erva is a different problem. So even if it's not, even. Eina Roa Es Ha'erva may be a problem even if Liba Roa Es Ha'erva isn't a problem. So that would be presumably an issue by Chala. Right? Okay. Just got another 5 minutes or so. The Chavis Yair, Simon Kuf Pei Aleph, quotes a minhag of a woman being tavelas twice and reciting the bracha between Tefillah A and Tefillah B. Barhetav Kos is from the Shalah. He raises the question, can you do this on Shabbos? Is the second Tefillah really necessary? Where does this come from? The Chavis Yair says, the Shaila was, Isha Shenaga Li Yisron Hechsher Midas Chasidah to be Tavalas twice. And she was concerned that the second time the attendant was only there the first time. And the second time, there was no attendant. She was worried, maybe the second time, her hair was sticking out of the mikvah. Does she have to go back and be tovelis the third time? So the Chavis Yair writes, Shaltia, Lamanag, Akach, where do you get this from? Being tovelis twice? Doesn't say it in Shulchan Aruch. Veshiva ki, Gam ima, Nag Akach, Utasa minag ima, my magic tradition. Now that's what her mother did. That's what she does. It sounds like the Chavis Yair wasn't so familiar with this minag. So he recommended to Ataris Nadarim. And that way, you can dismiss the need for a second tefillah. But then he says, so where did this all come from? What's this yes or says? What's this midas chasidus? As he says, on Shabbos, it should be a problem, because you can't stop go to the mikvah a second time on Shabbos for nothing. Even if she says that it's from her mother, but is mimetic tradition enough to be matir additional rechitz on Shabbos? And then he writes, then he found out, he heard that there's some women that have this practice, and they recite the bracha between the first tefillah and the second tefillah. He said, aha, acheinu dahadavar, shenispashit aminam imnei safeks mana bracha. Must be that's where it came from. That we don't know, should we assume like the Mechabah or Ramah, so have your cake and eat it too. So, go to the mikvah twice, be tovelis twice, and recite the bracha between them. So how does that work? So, darki tshuva, simchat din dalet, kosin l'chevrei leiv, that you should taka have that kavana. That if you're supposed to recite the bracha after the tefillah, so the first tefillah is a good tefillah. If you're supposed to recite the bracha before the tefillah, then the second tefillah is a good tefillah. And he says, the number one, it's hard to imagine that all the women have that in mind, unless you say, kola tovelas adaita derabana tovelas. And then Rav Avadya raises a bigger issue. What does that mean that you have kavod? Aside from ein tanai b'mitzvos, but even if yesh tanai b'mitzvos, but that only makes sense to have a tanai if it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, but it's only a hechsher, it's a status matter. So either the tefillah works or doesn't work. What is your tanai? Hell, I guess if you think that kavana is likuva, so maybe you're holding back the kavana. But he doesn't understand exactly how this two tefillah mindset should work. In the Dagal Mirvava, where's the Dagal Mirvava here? They put in the back. Okay. So Dagal Mirvava, there's a Madura Kama and a Madura Tinyana. So the Madura Tinyana, Dagal Mirvava writes, he's bothered by this issue. If tefillah number one works, so what's the point of tefillah number two? And what does it help to recite the bracha between them? And even if you'll say, okay, let's not have kavana or have a kavana tonight, kavana the first tefillah won't work, but nikra din, we assume that Ramah notwithstanding, kavana is not ma'akev. L'chachili should have kavana. Push off the shav, we'd be makel for a woman who went to the mikvah without kavana. So then he says, Mikol Mokom, it can't hurt. Holy Yasadavim Piagon, back to the Shalah, Yeshlach, Shadvar, Prach, Aimbaz, Ashum. Hashash Takala. What's the other issue here? That the Rambam, Perek Alf, Mitvos, Halachates, says that if you're Tovel extra, that's Meguna. Now we didn't focus on that, but that's in Kufsadi Ches, to if kaf tes. Hatala mikva sheva al arba misamim simsamim amal chaver kva shef alay be mikva harezu neguna. So maybe we should be worried about that. So Meshav Davar writes, that's only if you already left the mikvah. If you left the mikvah to come back, that's Meguna. But if you're still in the mikvah, so that Meguna thing doesn't bother us. If you look in the Piskei Tshuva, Sifkatan Aleph, Piskei Tshuva, Sifkatan Aleph, of course, the Tshuva is Har Carmel. What's the issue? That when it comes to Tefillah Shabbos, you have to establish or the ability that it's near a kameker. So what's the problem? If you're going to recite a bracha out loud before you go into the mikvah, you can't argue near a kameker anymore because you're saying the bracha. They think that's an additional consideration why you should follow the Ramah, at least on Shabbos, because there's a near a kameker consideration. Be'er Lacha talks about this in Simen Shin Kaf Gimel, Se'if Zayin. And finally, the Sefer Chassidim, Shin Tzadi Dali, records a minog, that women would go to the mikvah three times. Where did that come from? Pasuk in Yechezkel. Mayim tahor v'tarten at the Haraskan. It says Tara three times. So you quote such a practice, go into the mikvah three times. And in fact, this is a fairly common practice. Rav Osner has some people 5, 7, 10, that I'm not familiar with, but three is a common practice. That a woman, so we follow this minute that the Chavis Yarko from the Shalah, that you go down, come up again, recite a bracha, then go down again, and then go down a third time. And that is, I believe, common practice, at least for Ashkenazim. Okay, stop here. Next time, we'll just talk briefly about a couple other odds and ends halachos related to post-tvila. The din in the beginning of Kuf Pei Hei, of Bim Bodiyah Labayla, that she went to the mikvah. The din in the end of Reish Aleph in the Ramah, of not taking a shower after going to the mikvah. And then we will start Simin Kuf Sadi Hei, which I will be neder send you Mar Makomos on presently. Okay, Sunday is the Yom HaKahal. Tanis Esther was the Yom Kehila Lakol, but Sunday is the Yom HaKahal, so I guess we won't be here. I'm supposed to be giving some presentation about Seder again of this thing, if you happen to be there. And I guess we'll meet on Monday next. Okay. Lech Knosis Kol Yehudim.